Amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well, and what a blessing it's been already just being in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Ruth, in chapter 3, I trust that it's been a good study for you. I've been looking at the life of Ruth, and I've said as we've gone through this, especially in the very beginning, you would might think that Naomi was the main character. But we find that God has preserved it as the book of Ruth. And so it is Ruth that we need to look from her perspective as we read this and learn from it. Now we can learn from all the Bible characters in the Bible, but the book of Ruth is mainly about Ruth. And what a blessing it is to understand God's love for all people, for God's love of the world, all people. He raised a Moabitess. Okay, Ruth was raised a Moabitess. And becomes part of the seed line of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a tremendous, tremendous blessing it was when we understood that and we studied all that and everything that's leading up to where we're at tonight. Last week we were in chapter 3 and verses 7 through 11. Ruth presents herself to Boaz to be her kinsman redeemer. She knows now what the law teaches about a kinsman redeemer. She didn't know that to start with. She's learning about all these things, all the law, and how God has designed every aspect of life for his children. And so as now she understands a kinsman redeemer, and she knows that God led her to the field to glean after the reapers, and it just God directed her to the right field. It was Boaz's field. And then as he introduced himself to Ruth and somewhat reveals his interest in her, and then she tells Naomi all about it, and Naomi realizes that he is their kinsman redeemer. And so now she has presented herself to him to be her kinsman redeemer. All is going well. In verse 11, after she does this, he says, "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." And so we find here that he acknowledges his desire to redeem her, but there is a potential problem in this, and that's what we'll be looking at tonight. So go ahead and stand with me, and we'll read verse 12 down to verse 18, the end of the chapter. Verse 12. "And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning." And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she arose up before one could know another. And he said, "Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor." Also he said, "Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, and laid it on her, and she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, 'Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law.'" Then said she, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you again tonight, we do love you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in church and then for each one that has taken advantage of that tonight. And I thank you for what we've already received this evening, just being assembled together. But Father, I know that you have a message for us from thy word. And I pray, God, tonight that you would once again empower the teaching and the preaching of thy word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. A potential problem with Boaz becoming Ruth's kinsman redeemer. Ruth has already shown her desire for Boaz to redeem her. Boaz likewise has shown to Ruth his desire to have her as his wife and to redeem her and Naomi. But as he had been thinking about this ahead of time, as he had been researching all of this, as well as Ruth trying to understand exactly what the law would say concerning this kinsman redeemer, and she's learning all that God would have her to do. And so they're both, the Bible's already revealed to us that both of them are virtuous. Boaz is a virtuous man, and Ruth is a virtuous woman. And so they're looking to God to be able to determine what is right in this relationship and what's right in allowing this to go forward as in the will of God. And we find here that Boaz reveals to her that even though he is a near kinsman, there is a kinsman nearer than he. Now, Boaz was bound by righteousness. He was bound by righteousness because of his character. And a man of character, a woman of character, should be bound by what's right to do. If you're not bound by what's right to do, then you do not have the character that you ought to have, especially when it comes to the will of God and the ways of God. See, Boaz desired this. Ruth desired this. But they would have to do according to God's law. They would have to follow exactly what the law would state. And as God designed it for the kinsman redeemer. That's righteousness. Righteousness, if you know, it just if you understand it, biblical righteousness is just what's right in God's eyes. And Boaz would have been bound by righteousness. Can I tell you, right off the bat, we find what a tremendous thought we have here, and we understand that too many do what they want with the mentality of facing the consequences later. See, Boaz could have said, you know, we do have, as he researched it, there's a nearer kinsman, and the first line of redemption would come to the nearest kinsman, but he doesn't know about it. You came to me. You want me as your redeemer. I want you as my wife. And so why don't we just go ahead and marry and make this thing, you know, final, and then if he comes on the scene later on, then we'll be able just to say, hey, we didn't know you existed. See, this mentality outside of righteousness, outside of Christian character, is got a lot of people bound by humanistic philosophy, by what they think to be right. And what will happen is they will do what they want to do and face the consequences afterward once they have what they have. That's humanism. That's the character of the old sinful nature. Don't have to do it exactly the way it's supposed to be done. If I want it and it works out, let's do it and we'll just pay the consequences or deal with the consequences at a later time, whatever that might be, because I want what I want when I want it. Amen. I think every one of us, whether you realize it or not, we are guilty of at least those desires, because all of us have a sinful nature. Boaz, we know, was a man of character. If you will, the book of Ruth, and Boaz is somewhat of the symbolic of the Redeemer Jesus Christ. And Ruth is symbolic of the Gentile race, if you will. But this is still a story of a man and a woman who were righteous in that they were looking to God and they allowed themselves, because it's a biblical Christ-like character, they were bound by righteousness. That's thought, which it's easier to seek forgiveness rather than ask for permission. You know, it's, again, that's part of a humanistic sin nature of man. Because it's, if I want what I want, if I ask for permission, I might not be able to have it. They might tell me no. And so why ask for permission when I can just do it and then deal with it later? Well, Boaz could have done that. But he could not have done that and stayed right in the eyes of God. He could not have done that in righteousness. He could not have done that and kept his testimony as a virtuous man. Wow. The Bible addresses that. We find that Jesus addressed that several times. If you will, look over with me to the book of 1 John. 1 John. Are we bound by righteousness? Are you wanting to be bound by righteousness? Do you want to have the kind of character that God blesses? Can I tell you that God blesses righteousness? But oftentimes, we do that we want to do, even though we know it's wrong. Yeah. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. Do not the truth. Is what we're going to do and want to do, is that worth sacrificing our walk with God? Is that worth sacrificing our character? Verse 8, he says, if we say that we have no sin, what's not sinful, and we justify it? It's because it's what I want to do, and I have the opportunity to do it, and as I think about it, I can justify it. It's not going to hurt anybody. He doesn't even know that he's a kinsman redeemer of Ruth. He hasn't been on the scene. She didn't go to him. He didn't go to her. Ruth came to me, and I want her as my wife. She wants me as her kinsman redeemer. So why should we not just go ahead and do this? Because of the law. Because God established the law of a kinsman redeemer, and the nearest kinsman would have the option, first of all, to redeem. Whether we understand it, whether we agree with it or not, if we know it to be Bible, if we know it to be law, then character says, I am bound by righteousness. Too often, even as we apply it to our lives today, we justify it and we don't see it as sin. And the Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves to somehow justify it and put righteousness to the side and put Christian character to the side. And we go ahead and go through with doing what I want to do when I want to do it. If it's wrong, I'll deal with the consequences later. If God determines that I deserve to be chastened, then I'll deal with that later. Yeah. And the truth is not in us. We've been blinded by the old devil when we turn away from what's right, righteousness. I love what the book of Proverbs says about it. And again, what a great start in just understanding what took place there with Boaz and Ruth. In the book of Proverbs, let me just read it to you. You know the verse very well. But Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, it says this, righteousness, that's doing what's right in God's eyes, exalteth a nation. Not only will it exalt an individual's walk with God, not only will it bring God's blessings upon an individual by having Christian character and being bound by what's right to do, Not only will it bless the individual, the Bible says it's what a nation needs to have the blessings of God upon a nation. Not humanism. Not worldly philosophies. Not even so-called religious philosophies. But what thus saith the Lord? What's right in God's eyes? Being bound by what's right in God's eyes. Righteousness, it exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. You're trying to get by with something and justifying it just because it's what you want and you're able to have what you want, whether it's right or not. The Bible says over in chapter 15 in the book of Proverbs, in verse 6, it says this: in the house of the righteous is much treasure. Not in the house of the worldly minded. Not in the house of humanism. But a house that is based upon biblical character and righteousness. God will bless that. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked, no matter what you gain from it, it's only going to lead to trouble. Amen. Yeah. Wow. Boaz, no one will know. The whole city knows that she's a righteous woman. The whole city has got its eyes upon you. They're all for it. They want the two of you to get married. It's all right. Come on. Don't be so nitpicky. Don't look to the Bible to make sure. Don't pray. Don't seek God's will. Just do it. Yeah. Oh, well. Praise the Lord for his character. And because of his character, he was bound by righteousness. Go back with me. So he has to tell her. Now, I've already researched it. I wanted this to be, but I found there is a nearer kinsman to you than me. So his promise, his desire, and a promise from his heart was, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. Verse 11. That was his heart. Even that's what he wanted to do. But then he had to qualify that. I'm not the nearest kinsman. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, we have to yield to it. He says, count it as the will of God. Well. Not going to try to deceive him. I'm not going to try to hold back. I'm not going to try to persuade him any more than what the facts are. If it's not God's will, I'm not going to push my will in front of God's will. I want to marry you. You want me to redeem you. Yes. But this is a conditional promise. It's only going to take place in the will of God. Because then he says, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee as the Lord liveth. This is God working it out, and God sees what's taking place. I want God's will to be done in this, and I am bound to righteousness. Amen. When we come to the promises of God, can I tell you that God reveals his heart to us? And God's heart is an unconditional promise that we have, all humanity have, no matter where they're coming from, what they believe, whether they acknowledge God or not, God loves humanity. Amen. God loves the world. God loves all people. That is an unconditional promise. No matter what you do, where you come from, that is not going to impact the love of God. It's not going to keep God from loving you. That's an unconditional promise. There's nothing that will hinder that. But then as we understand, as we look to God and we understand the promises that He makes to us, most all other promises are conditional. The Redeemer, Boaz, says to Ruth, "This is my heart. I will do what you've come to me, what you want me to do. I want that. That's my will. That's my heart's desire. But I can't go against that which is established. God's design. God's law." 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter. That's a principle that is New Testament doctrine. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Does that mean because God does not want anyone to go to hell, no human being will go to the place of hell? No human being will perish because God loves them and it's not His will for them to perish. No, God's revealing His heart and His desire, and He's going to do everything He can to keep that person. But the design of God is, God does His part. There's two conditions for a person to be saved. You have to believe. No one that has ever turned away from believing in a Creator God, no one that has ever turned away from believing in a Messiah, a Savior, has ever and will ever be saved, even though it's God's heart that they be saved. It's God's will that they be saved. It's God's will that they go to heaven. But it is conditional. You have to believe. And not only do you have to believe, the devils believe and tremble. You have to have a desire to receive. That's conditions. It's conditions of a heart of man. It's conditions of the thinking, the thoughts of a human being. God loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. He's done everything to be your Redeemer. But you have to, first of all, believe that you need a Redeemer. And then second of all, you have to desire a Redeemer. You cannot force anybody to be saved. No matter how many times you get your kids baptized when they're infants and two-year-old and three-year-old teenagers, that's not going to get them to heaven. No matter how many classes you put them through and try to confirm their belief, if they don't want to be saved, if they don't believe and they don't desire, if they will not confess with their mouths that they're sinners and on their way to a devil's hell, and then call upon the name of the Lord, they will not be saved. Even though God wants them to. Wow. Most of the promises that God gives to us, makes to us, have conditions. Salvation is the most important. His heart is, no matter who you are, where you come from, what you've done, my love for you will not change. I want you to be saved. I desire you to know that you're saved. But your salvation is lying upon the conditions that have been designed from the foundations of the earth. Belief and reception. Another one that is probably the second most important promise that we have is that God will hear and answer our prayers. You know there's a condition to that? John chapter 15, we find here that Jesus presents that to the disciples. It's written down for us to understand it as well. John chapter 15. He's bound by righteousness. Yeah. John chapter 15 and verse 17, Jesus says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, promise, it shall be done unto you." God will answer your prayer, no matter what it is. But the conditions, he abides in you and you abide in him. That if you are saved. If you're not saved, listen to me. The Bible says that you are dead to God. Somebody that is dead to God cannot pray. They cannot receive answers to prayers. A lost person, God hears one prayer of a lost man. That is a prayer of repentance and the prayer of a desire to receive him. And you then are adopted into the family of God. And when you are saved, then God abides in you and you abide in God. And then from that point, you have to just continue to let his word abide in you. You have to know what God would have you to pray for and what he wouldn't have you to pray for. You have to pray according to the will of God. And if you're praying according to the will of God, whatever that might be, then you can have the assurance that God is hearing and God will answer your prayer. It's a promise, but it's a conditional promise. Go back with me to Ruth. Amen. Everybody's following me there? That's what's going on. That's what this principle in this book of Ruth concerning Boaz, the Redeemer, and Ruth, the Moabitess, and now turned to God and wants to be redeemed by a kinsman Redeemer. She went to him and he wants her to be his wife. He wants her to be what she wants. But he is bound by design. He is bound by what God designed in righteousness. Yeah, wow. Ruth chapter 3, right after this, we find something else. Boaz reveals his love. He does love her. He's going to do everything he can to be that redeemer to her. Boaz reveals his love by two different things right here. In verse 13 down to verse 15, he reveals it by wanting to protect her. She's there at midnight, and she's laying at his feet, and he now tells her he wants her to be his wife. He wants to redeem her, but he can't do it. He cannot commit to this until after he does it righteously, and he follows the law. He has to find out about this other kinsman redeemer that is closer. Now he could have just kicked her out and said, "Go on back home." But we find in practical sense here, it's midnight, it's dark. There are no street lights. She would have to travel in the dark, not being able to see. She could be in danger being out there at night in the wild animals and all the different things. And he tells her to stay there. Stay into morning. Tarry this night. And it shall be in the morning. Verse 14 says, "She lay at his feet until the morning. Then she arose up before one could know another." Rose before they could really make out who you were. The darkness, it was not quite light enough to be able to tell who was who. But we find here that he was thinking about her when he said, "Stay until morning." He was thinking about her protection. Can I tell you, our Redeemer is concerned about our safety? Yeah. Not only that, he was concerned about her testimony. He knew her to be righteous. The city knew her to be righteous, or I said that, but it would taint possibly a testimony if they would have known that she'd come onto the floor and she did what she did and not got the results at that point. So he did not lie, did not deceive. He just said, let's protect her testimony. Don't let anybody know that there was a woman on the floor. Sometimes we want to know things we don't need to know. Amen. You don't have to tell everybody everything you know. Because many times what they don't need to know will only be trouble if they know it. And it will cause more hurt. As a pastor, I know a lot about a lot of different things. I'm involved in helping people in all sorts of different situations and all the different families of the church. And I've taken this mentality because I think it's a right mentality. People don't need to know what they don't need to know. The more people know about sin, the more Satan is able to use that to hinder them. So if it's not something you need to know, I'm not telling you. Amen. And the church is more unified when you only know what you need to know concerning one another. Now, if it affects your life in somehow or other and you need to know, if it's done publicly, you have to deal with it publicly. But if it's done privately and it's something that is between that person and another person and Almighty God, let's keep it to those that need to know. And let's deal with it righteously. But in dealing with it righteously, Boaz says, people don't need to know that. Boaz says, keep it to yourself because it can be used in a negative way to spread lies and rumors. He didn't do anything wrong. He's already proven himself to be righteous. He's already proven himself of a man of character. And a man of character and doing what's right in God's eyes, saying, don't tell anybody any more than what they need to know. That's nothing wrong with that. That's protecting. That's keeping the unity as the unity needs to be kept. Yeah, praise the Lord for that. He protected her testimony. And then he does something else. Verse 15. Also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. Love provides. Love protects. And love provides. Can I tell you, genuine love produces a desire to meet people's needs. Provisions. What's that saying? You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Yeah, that's a blessing. If you truly have love, you want to provide. One of the things that as a father, it's always been a blessing in my life, is to be able to provide for my wife and provide for my children, provide for my family. There's a lot of people that show love in a lot of different ways, but there is no doubt about love wanting to provide and love wanting to protect. Yeah, that's the love of God. We find Boaz having the right love for Ruth when he wants to protect her and he wants to provide for her even before he has all this worked out with the other kinsman redeemer. Verse 16 and 17, almost done here. Follow with me here. Boaz was mindful of not only Ruth, but also of Ruth's loved ones. I love that part of it. She goes back, and when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who art thou?" Her mother-in-law is a little bit, very much interested, because it's going to impact her life as well, because it was her husband, Elimelech, that he is a kinsman to, and it's because of her, Elimelech's son, that now Ruth can be redeemed. And she comes back and she says, "Are you engaged? Did it go as we had designed it, as we prayed about it? Did it go as according to plan?" Her mother-in-law said, "Who art thou? Are you engaged?" That's what she's saying. She knows it's Ruth coming in, "My daughter." And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me," and look right here, "Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law." Boaz was mindful not only of Ruth, but he was also mindful of Ruth's loved ones. See, when you marry somebody, you not only receive them, but in receiving them, you receive all of their loved ones. Yeah. Something to consider when you get ready to marry. But if you truly love that person, then you are going to be considerate and mindful of those who she loves. That's why I tell people in marriage, let him deal with his side of the family and let her deal with her side of the family. You love his family through him, and you love her family through her. Now, it's a blessing when you can actually love them beside of the husband or wife. Sometimes you love their family more at certain times. They're nicer to you. They're kinder to you. But either way, love does not only receive that individual, but it brings in everything about that individual. You love who they love. He points this out. And then lastly, we find here in verse 18, Naomi gives wise counsel. Ruth is coming back. She's still young in her understanding of the law. She still is growing in her knowledge of who God is and the ways of God. Then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall." That's good counsel. The need to be patient and wait before doing anything else. Be careful not to do more than what God would have you to do. Control your thoughts and wait. Be patient. See, because she could have come in, then her mind would have gone crazy if she'd let it, her imagination. Well, this other redeemer, maybe I need to go and tell him I don't want him as a redeemer. Maybe I need to help Boaz. Maybe I need to do what I need to do. I need to find out who this nearest redeemer is. I need to go to him and I need to say, I don't want to marry you. I don't want you to redeem me. I've got Boaz. And before you know it, your mind is going wild and you think, what else? And everything's happened already. God is in control. Just be still. And know that God's working in your life. Sometimes we just need to be counseled. Be still. Be patient. Control your thinking. And wait for more information. Just put it in God's hands. Know that I've done all that I know to do with the information that I have. Now it's in God's hands. And wait for new information before you do anything else. That's good counsel. Yeah. And then she reminds Ruth of this one thing. Not only are you to wait, but you are to trust Boaz. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. She reminds Ruth of Boaz's character. Yeah, Boaz will do all that could be done. Just patiently wait on him. In closing, Hebrews chapter 10. We're done. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience. Keep your confidence in the Lord, just your need of patience. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. He's made you a promise. Trust in it. Be patient. Wait upon the Lord. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Wow, what a great book of the Bible. What a great character study of Ruth. Are we bound by righteousness? I trust we are. I trust every one of us as born-again believers want to do what's right in God's eyes. If you're going to do that, you're going to have to fight off the flesh. You're going to fight off many times what I want to do and yield to what God would have you to do. Character is bound by righteousness. Yeah. Not going to have a musical invitation tonight, but there's always an invitation. If God spoke to you tonight and you have a decision to make, we invite you to come to the altar and make an altar out of your pew, whatever you need to do. Just acknowledge what God might have revealed to you tonight. Father, we bow before you tonight. We love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for this life of Ruth that we can study, this historical events that you've recorded for us, and then apply New Testament doctrine that allows us to identify with how we're to live it by it today. Pray, God, that as we have looked to this tonight and preached what you would have me to preach, I pray that you would bless our people with it. As we get ready to leave here tonight, I pray that you'd watch over us, get us home safely, bring us back at the next appointed hour. For this we ask in Jesus' name.